Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the MediCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea and sit back. Let's chat about the astrology, human design, gene keys, Pleiadian earth energy of the day. Actually, I don't think I have much in terms of the human design or gene keys. I'm saving that for tomorrow when the human design week shifts and we move into a new sun and gate for the earth, a new gate for the sun and the earth. However, today is a banner day nonetheless. Finally, Mercury is moving out of retrograde. I, for one, am so glad to see this particular iteration of Mercury retrograde pass on out of existence. It has been sort of a thorn in my side all of the weeks that he has been messing around in the sign of Cancer and also in Leo. So the other big news of the day is the new moon in Leo. So we are lined up with planets in Leo, celebration, fun and play, love and romance, all the name of the game here for the next several weeks. So really, I could end my broadcast right there. Go out, have fun, play, have a good time, celebrate, dance, love, romance, all of that, right? That's the really good big news for the day. So here, let's break this down a bit. Let's first say good morning. I saw Linda Dennis jump in this morning. Good morning to you, sweetheart. I hope everything's going well for you. And anybody else who's just joining us, I can't see anybody else at the moment, but that's okay because you'll all be here shortly, I'm sure. So today we have the moon that has just recently moved into Leo. In fact, the moment I drew up the chart this morning, which was about 7 a.m. my time, the moon had just moved in. It was 0 degrees, 23 minutes. So I caught it just as the moon has moved into Leo. So we're already feeling this energy building up toward the new moon. You may even be feeling the energy of the old moon cycle passing away. And it's almost a feeling when this happens that we're sort of perched on the edge of something. We're sitting at the cliff of the new moon, but we aren't quite finished with the old one yet. So we're still dealing with the entire moon cycle that began with the new moon on July 2nd in Cancer. And as we close out that cycle, then we can sort of look back over the course of this lunar month and see what we've accomplished or see what has shown up in our world, especially if you're someone who sets intentions at the new moon. Usually the ending of this cycle is when you start to see the culmination of all of the things that you intended with that new moon. Look back to July 2nd. What did you set up then for yourself that might be coming to a completion or coming to a head today, or at least maybe the first inklings of what that means for you are showing up in your world? Very soon now, the moon is going to make a conjunction with Venus that is also in the sign of Leo, at 4 degrees of Leo to be exact. Now, I sat here this morning with Venus at 4 degrees Leo. Why does that sound so familiar to me, 4 degrees Leo? And then I remembered that 4 degrees Leo was the furthest that Mercury made in its cycle before it turned retrograde. So on July 7th, when Leo turned retrograde, it was at 4 degrees of Leo. But there was something more than that because that seemed too recent. So I was like searching in my mind. And then I remembered that the last series of eclipses that were across Leo and Aquarius happened at 4 degrees of Leo. And so this may be something that today brings up a little something from the past, whatever that eclipse was. I didn't have time before I got into this morning to check that date for you, but maybe I will do that. But you couldn't even think back. It's most likely happened in 2017. It actually would be early 2018, would have been probably February, where the last series would have been a lunar eclipse across Leo and Aquarius. So maybe check back with yourself. What was going on then? Because you may see another echo of that at this point in time, or the completion of something that was going on at that time. Because we're talking now about cycles that are within cycles, right? We're not talking just the little cycles of time. You know, we're talking sometimes they're nested like little Matryoshka dolls within one another. And that's exactly what we see here, the possibility of that happening. Hold on, I need to close a window because, and did I Turn my phone on silent. Yes, it is. Okay. I think I turned it on silent. Hopefully I didn't turn it up back on sound. Okay. So 4 degrees Leo is prominent in our minds and hearts today. The moon conjuncting Venus is a feel good, right? This is a feel good place. And it, you know, maybe something that was going on with your relationships, your money, your values, that was eclipsed, if you will, last year, and or also with Mercury when it turned retrograde, something of value, something that you value. And Venus has a tendency to smooth things over, to make things right again, to realign us within the energy of love and love energy, not just I love you kind of energy, but the bigger energies of love, that the glue, if you will, that holds the universe together. The moon is also at that point going to be in a square to our friend Uranus, right? Friend Uranus. So the moon, emotions, Uranus and Taurus, money, values, maybe even something to do with your self-worth and your self-esteem. Something today may happen that either calls that into question or puts a spotlight on it. Am I worthy? Right? Because here we are. Here we are at one of the largest, and when I say large, I mean Leo energies, large and in charge, right? This is in your face energy. You know a Leo. Right, you can be walking through the grocery store or walking down the street, and you'll know a Leo because they have presence. Right, they have this bigger presence. So Leo energy is noticeable, and it's big, and its aura is big. That's what I'm really talking about. Its energetic signature, if you will, is big, and so we often take notice of Leo people or of that Leo energy. And if in any case, Leos would make themselves known, right? That's how they are. That's how they operate when they're in their power. When they're in their power, you notice them. So if we're really paying attention then to Leo energy, what is large and in your face right now? Because that's the key, right? It's in your face, whatever it is if it's a self-worth issue, if there's a self-esteem issue, the moon squaring Uranus right now is going to bring it up. It's going to put it in your face. It's going to put it in your face because we also have the new moon coming this evening. And the new moon is always a time to start something new, to take the next leap out there, put your butt on the line and get out there and do something new, something exciting, something revolutionary, perhaps something you haven't done before. But what may happen as you look at what do I need to do next? It may be big and it may be scary, and you may settle for less, right? Don't do it. Don't settle for less than what you're worth. Don't settle for second best when you could have the first best, right? So when you're putting together the thoughts around what you want to do with this new moon, what you want to create for yourself, today is the day to not play small. Don't let yourself be small. Let yourself be out there in all of your glory, right? The heart is the part of the body that Leo resonates with, the heart and the back. So one thing that brings us stability, and the other thing that's literally life, right? It's life, the life right here. And pull your shoulders back and open up your heart, right? And you know, when you do that, often your arms automatically want to do hands out, palms up, because you're in receiving. Leo energy is in receiving of all of the adoration of the universe, all of the abundance in the universe, all the good things in the universe. And you're part of that right now. So allow yourself to dream big and put it out there. Don't try to play, you know, small when you can play big. Let's check in with people this morning. I see out of the corner of my eye, I see all these things coming up. Good morning, Allison. It's great to see you this morning. Katie, good morning. Diane Pegram, good morning. Brenda, good morning to you as well. Patricia Woods, heading to the airport today for my big move back to BC and feeling so good about this move. I'm so excited for you, and what a great day to do that. Brenda, emotions all over the place this morning. I agree. It's sort of like that here as well in my part of the world, in my own life. Ashley, good morning to you. And Brenda says, I feel like I feed everyone emotionally, spiritually, psychically, but who feeds me? Good question. Angela, good morning to you as well. So that's a great question to ask yourself, right? There's a point at which giving is too much, right? You can't give more than what you have. And if you try to keep doing that, you're digging in from a deficit. So you have to also do the things that fill you up, whatever that is, Brenda. So if it's going outside and being in nature that fills you up, do that. If it's hanging out with children or your favorite friends or family, then do that. If it's reading a book, if it's meditating, if it's yoga, if it's exercise, I don't care what it is that fills you up, you need to get filled up first, right? You have to fill yourself up, because if you don't, you start giving from a deficit, and that doesn't do anybody any good, right? You'll come to a point where you can't give anymore, where you break, right? Where you break. And I know in our society, sometimes people think of you when you are self-serving. And again, I say that and I go, oh my God, the negative connotation around those words, right? Self-serving. But what does it mean to serve? Ask yourself that. What does it mean to serve? And why shouldn't you self-serve in order to then give, right? The real nature of the universe is a giving and a receiving, or a giving and the exchanging of energy, which goes around and around. Self-serving has a bad rap because it makes it sound like you're being selfish, but it's like being self-centered. Those two words have such negative connotation, but serving is really sharing. I even changed that in my definition of the sixth house or Virgo energy in the charts. And I try to move that word serving out of my lexicon because it has that negative connotation to it. And instead I input the word sharing. So instead of serving others by coming on here in the morning, I'm actually sharing of myself, of my gifts, of my talents with everyone. And that is a service to the world, or a service to the community. And when you reframe it like that, you can see how, or maybe it even just feels enough different that you understand that I can't get up here, what I do every day, if I didn't have some mechanism that also fills me up, right? Because it would very soon blast out my energy. It would very soon make me feel melancholic or depressed or anxious or sad, upset. All of those kinds of emotions are tells. Like if you were playing poker right now, everybody has a tell that lets you know that there's something not right, perhaps in the way you're thinking, in the way you're doing things, the way you're living your life, or the way that things are unraveling for you. So your emotions are a cue to look within. And Brenda, if what your emotions are telling you is that you're not being supported or you're not being filled up, then it's time for you to do that for yourself. That no one else is responsible for filling you up, right? No one is. You are responsible for filling yourself up, for seeing what it is you need and going inward to fill up yourself, right? You can't look outside of yourself for that, because outsiders, other people, can totally and utterly fail you, but you can't fail yourself. Or if you don't do it first for yourself, you are failing yourself. So fill yourself up and then give from your being full, from your fullness, and not from a deficit. That's all that that really means. And the new moon, this is a perfect time, right? The new moon occurs at 8:12 p.m. this evening, my time, West Coast time. So that will be 11:12 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. It will be tomorrow morning for those of you who are joining us from the UK or Ireland, or from Universal time. I think you would just add 5 hours to 11:12. So what's that, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning for you all in Europe. And if you're tuning in to us from Australia later in the day, it is also much later in the day for you tomorrow that you experience the new moon. All righty. So let's take a look at what it is the new moon means, or what the new moon brings us when it's in Leo. First, I'm going to take a look at some other comments here. Brenda says, I like that reframe. Very good. It's your perception. Definitely your perception. Colleen, good morning to you. And Brenda, perfect. So now let's give you some ideas about what you can do with this new moon. Because the new moon in Leo, every sign, by the way, has its specific things that it rules and a planet that rules it. So the sun is the planet that rules Leo. So the sun is our identity. It is our personality. It is who we are. The very foundation of who you are is seen through the sun in your chart. And in this case, with Leo energy is about love and romance. And so everything to do with love and romance, and that might mean dating, that might mean affairs of the heart. It might mean that a love relationship going to the next level, moving out of dating and love affair into the more relationship-oriented energies. Leo energy is generous. It rules generosity and magnanimity. That's another word that we could think of as in giving. Are we giving from a place of generosity and magnanimity, whatever that word would be? Giving from a place of fullness, I guess, is what, if I broke it down to the easiest words to understand. Leo, we're talking about this right now at this time because it's a Leo energy to give from the fullness. There's also celebration. If I could play music, I'd be playing that Cool in the Gang song, Celebrate, Good Times. It's a time for play. It's a time for fun. It's a time for vacations. It's a time for recreation. It's a time for doing all the things that you love to do, right? For us, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, it's summertime. We should be out there enjoying the bounty of what it is that summer brings to us. It is also a sign that is fixed in its way of being. So there's a mode of operation that all of the signs have. And Leo happens to be a fixed sign. And a fixed sign is loyal. A fixed sign is steady. It's stable. The word fixed kind of gives you the clue, right? It stays the course. And in that, there's determination. So Leo is one of the signs of determination, of persistence, of endurance. Not quite like the Saturn signs like Aquarius and Capricorn can have, but certainly determination to stay loyal, to be kind, to be generous. This is all at the higher level, which of course is what we want to resonate with. We want to shoot for the highest expression of the sign. So there's dignity here in Leo energy. And in that, then, we are aiming for a higher or a better way for us to be together in the world. Perhaps it is more about how do we treat one another? How would you want to be treated? That golden rule, you know, this is kind of funny. When I was looking at the energies for 2020, one of the things that came up was the three big connections that are happening next year are Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn, all meeting up in Capricorn, and more than just one time, like three different times, but literally they're within orb of one another, meaning, you know, we could still consider them very close to one another throughout the whole of the year. And the last time that happened was way back in time where we had for the very first time, the Code of Hammurabi, which was the first sort of organized set of laws to guide cultures and society. And literally, they're very similar to what we have now as our code of laws. From the Code of Hammurabi came the Moses and the Ten Commandments, which then, you know, lays the template for the laws that guide us even today. Not to say that they're fair or unfair, it's just these are the guides, the rules that seem to guide us. Unfortunately, well, back in time when those laws were first applied, they were applied evenly across the board. It didn't matter if you were king or queen, or if you were the lowliest of lowly, those laws were applied evenly. They applied to everybody. What's happened over time is those laws have become skewed to, as greed took over the planet, and it's an energy that we still are resonant with. It began to morph into, if you have enough money, you can play with those laws, right? You can sidestep them, if you will, or you could pay someone off that would look the other direction and not apply the laws to you in the same way that they would for somebody that was poorer that couldn't do that, right? Underneath all of this is also some other interesting sort of laws that we had going on. One was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? That was sort of a vengeance, right? So even religion took on a bit in history, this vengeance, right? Our God was a vengeance, was a revengeful God, or he would smite you, rain down brimstone and fire and all of that kind of stuff, right? That was this eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth sort of law. And then it began to morph a little bit more. And as time goes on, we end up in the time of Jesus with a golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and other ways that that, of course, you know, is worded. And I find it interesting that right now when we're talking about Leo energy and the generosity of spirit that Leo brings and its ability to be in dignity, that the dignity of what is changing in our world, even, is about that golden rule, right? That golden rule. And perhaps what is really underneath everything that's happening in our world, here in the United States with all the craziness, and in Europe with the craziness, and Australia even has had craziness, is this idea of, in between, by the way, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth was the turn the other cheek, right? If someone hits you, then you turn the other cheek and offer them up, you know, offer yourself up as a punching bag. And then that morphed into the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think that's the way that we have to begin to really, we have to look at those words. And how do we live those words? How do we, so here, it implies that you have to think about, how would I want to show up in the world? How would I want people to treat me? And then I would begin to treat others in that same way. Right? Because what I put out, I get back. So if I'm putting out vicious lies and ugliness and hatred and spewing that and polarizing and dividing, then of course that's what I get back. And I see more and I see more and I see more of that. Until before long, I'm succumbing to the fear, right? To that whole idea of that's all that there is in the world. But there's more to it than that, right? Because there's so much goodness in the world. We've just been sort of shaded recently from being able to see that. So as time goes on, the more of us that start to resonate with that energy of love, that put out good energy, that put out love, that put out generosity, that put out dignity, and who are determined to see the good in people, you get that back, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How do you want to be treated? Remember, I asked a question a few weeks back. How do you want to be loved? Right? And that begins with how you love. That's the part we didn't go to it that day, but you love the way that you want to be loved. I hope this is making sense to everybody. Because it's a huge, yeah, Lisa Kinney, just be kind. If you can start with kindness, if you can start there, that's huge, right? When you are kind, that's what you're asking for back. That's what you'll start to see coming back at you. When you're generous, then you see generosity coming back at you. And that's exactly what we're in the throes of right here. Right now, we can decide. We can decide that that's the way that we're going to live our life. We're going to have fun. We're going to love. We're going to be generous. We're going to be kind. We're going to be, you know, dignified, dignified. And, you know, that brings up dignity as well, right? The word dignity and the way that other people, like the homeless, is there some form of dignity that we can instill in them, for them, on their behalf, that allows them to see and feel their humanness. And it starts with how we other humans behave toward them. And it's huge. I mean, I could go on forever in that one, but it's, I guess it's enough to say that what we put out, we get back. So remember that through this time. I have my favorite go-to book for the new moon. It is, you guys, I don't know if this is still available, but if you can find it, New Moon Astrology by Jan Spiller, who passed away a year or two ago. But this book is so fabulous because it goes through everything that every sign has as its rulership for the new moon. And one of the things that I really like about it is that she breaks it down into sections. So if you wanted to say, set intentions about how to love or how to be loved, there's a section called personal heart connections. And how would you set up an intention for that? I mean, she frames intention as wishes. And in that, it seems a little airy-fairy, but it's okay, right? Airy-fairy is fine. You can take it and move it to the more practical, which is, what are the intentions? What are the things I want to manifest? And Leo also rules creativity, right? The sun rules creativity. And yes, yeah, okay, good, Angela. So other people, if you do know Jan Spiller, her work is phenomenal. She is the one who I learned from about prenatal solar eclipses and prenatal lunar eclipses. And I haven't talked much about that here, but it really sets the stage for you as a person as to what it is you're here to learn and what it is that you're going to teach. And of course, teaching can either be the positive form of teaching or the reverse, right? You could teach what not to be and how not to do something versus teaching it in the positive. So it's really interesting when you look at it in your astrology chart, where that is. Maybe someday we'll work on that. So creativity, remember, artistic expression, the moon conjunct Venus just before we get into this new moon today is bringing out that creative energy, that artistic expression, the color. This morning I was wearing black and I thought, oh, I have colorful scarves I could wear, but I didn't really feel like wearing a scarf. So, and then I got chilled because this is a tank top sort of dress. So I put on a little sweater and then I went, I need color. So I went and I got my blue soda light here and put that on. Then I got my peacocks because my peacocks are kind of off-white, like my shirt or my little over sweater here. So I was already in tune. Like, how do I dress myself up today? Right? How do I add color to my life? How do I add beauty to my life? And that's another experience that we all have right now, is what would add beauty, what would add creativity, what would add some joy to my life right now? And that's what I'm going to intend as the new moon comes into play. And again, that's not until this evening. But Leo also rules the loyalty, generosity, bringing joy, encouragement, and kindness. The exact same things we were talking about here, about how do we want to be treated? Well, if we're kind, we generate kindness back to us. Let's see here. Allison, if newspapers reverse their stories, good news on the front page and good stories in front and bad in the back, it would make a big difference in society. Everyone wants front page. Make it for good things. Indeed. Diane Pegram says, I'll have to get that one. I'm thinking she means the book. So let me show you the book again. New Moon Astrology. Using new moon power days to change and revitalize your life. And I got this book way back when. I've had it for a long time. I hope it's still available. Astrology for the Soul. That's the other one. Astrology for the Soul. It's on the inner page here. That's the book that has, okay, camera, catch up with me. Oh, it's all blurry. Astrology for the Soul. That's the book that has both the nodes and the prenatal lunar eclipses and prenatal solar eclipses in it, I believe. So Leo also rules fun and play and games and parties and vacations and sports and taking risks for excitement. So there's a cautionary tale there, right? Because some people, you know, can go overboard with the taking risks part. But taking risk is also a part of our lives. And I would say that taking risks for us now with Jupiter in Sagittarius should be a calculated risks, not risky risks, not like, I don't know, if I jump off this cliff, am I going to land amongst the rocks or am I going to make it to the deep water? That's risky risk. But calculated risk says, I look over, I see that I have this fear about jumping off this cliff. There's nothing but deep water there. I might decide that it's okay for me to do this. Now, that's probably a bad example because I'm not saying go jump off a cliff, but I am saying there's a line in the sand for most of us that we've been afraid to cross. A new moon in Leo gives us the courage of the lion, the strength of the lion to move across that little line in the sand. Where is your line in the sand? Where did you draw it? And is it real? Or could a strong wind come along and blow away that line and you wouldn't know where it was and you'd be going past it all this time and you had no idea you were past your line in the sand, right? This is about growing. This is about expansion. This is about radiance, right? Light, radiance. Remember, Leo energy also likes the center stage. So if some of you are out there and you've been loath to get yourself out into the world doing what you love or doing what you know you do well, maybe you're an oracle card reader, maybe you're a numerologist, maybe you're a healer of some sort, but you've been afraid to launch it out there. This is your time. Get past it. Get past that line in the sand. Pride is also a part of this. And I know that pride sometimes gets a bad rap in terms of, you know, being prideful, which is sort of akin to being overly self-centered or narcissistic, or is it the gateway to something, you know, like vanity? But pride also has an upside. It says that I put my heart and soul into my products or into how I show up in the world. And it's not prideful. It is, I do this with pride. There's nothing beautiful about someone who's hiding their beauty. There is nothing worse than seeing somebody that has so much ability and so much love and joy to give, hiding it, right? That take pride in what it is that you do. Take pride in yourself. Do everything you can to build yourself up, because in doing so, you are also allowing that for other people. Right? We don't live in a vacuum. What I do has ripples. It ripples out and affects other people. When I do something that is good for me, it is also good for you. You may not know it. I may not know that. I may not ever see the effect that I have on other people, but it's there nonetheless. You may not see what the choice of becoming a healer means for someone else. All you're doing is saying, I'm fulfilling this. I'm taking pride in my work, in myself, in my gifts, and I'm sharing them. I'm putting that out there without fear, right? I'm just doing it because it's what I want from my heart, because Leo rules the heart. Now, Leo also rules the spine. And in ruling the spine, then when you're having back issues, sometimes people have low back issues. Sometimes it's in their neck or what, you know, often I have to look then to Leo in their chart because something's pressuring them in that part of their chart, maybe by progression, maybe by transit, maybe in their own birth chart. Maybe they had Chiron in Leo or something like that. And it creates where the physical body reflects it to you in the back or in the heart. So, but also Leo in the body rules inflammation, right? So inflammation, where you get that puffy feeling, where your body's immune system is on high alert and it's overworking and overtaxing. So looking for the cause, the root cause of inflammation is something that's powerful during this period of time as well. So that's it from her new moon astrology book, things that we can look at for Leo. And I think it's a really good example of the new moon here in Leo is a really good example of the highest that we can put out there as human beings and how we can support one another to achieving those dreams. And it comes from the spirit of love and joy and bliss, vitality, all of the juicy goodness that comes to us from the sun. So there you have that. Also of note is now we have a stellium. A stellium is a word that means a congregation of planets in one sign. And the stellium is now with the moon, Venus, the sun, and Mars, all in Leo. And that stays with us through August, a good chunk of August, and begins to change around August 18th when all of the planets begin to put pressure into Virgo. And then we are asked to take the creative, imaginative energy that we've been holding up here with Leo energy and to move it into Virgo, which says, put your pedal to the metal, put the rubber to the road, put your boots to the ground, whatever words that you want, any sayings that you want. It says we have to do more with it than just keep it up here as, you know, so many ideas and inspiration. We have to physically put it out there into the world. Virgo's earth energy, where Leo's fire. Fire is passion, creativity, and earth is practical, grounded. And with Virgo, it is the beginning of putting the details to the bigger plan, to the bigger idea. So we have a real good ending, if you will, to the summer or the second half of the summer, as we're just moving into the halfway point, which I don't see Suzanne Fulmer out there this morning, but maybe she'll grace us with her presence either August 1st or 2nd is a cross quarter day. And she is a practicing Wiccan and can, give us information on what that cross quarter day means and how we can celebrate. I think it's called Lunasa. There's another word for it. Lammas, maybe. I don't know. Suzanne, if you're listening to this later today, maybe pop in with us tomorrow and maybe talk to us a little bit about that cross quarter day, as that's where we are finding ourselves here as we enter into August. Okay. So Leo stellium, a lot of focus with Leo energy, and take it while you got it. Be creative, jump for joy, play. I'm literally taking the day off on Friday to go spend with my grandkids because I had told them at the beginning of the summer that every other Friday I was going to spend with them. I was going to leave here and go over to my daughter who lives in Burlington, the central house, if you will, of the county that I live in. And we'd go to the park or we would swim or we would just have lunch together. And every Friday, wouldn't you know, so far this summer has not been, it just hasn't worked out for me to be able to do that. But this Friday, you won't find me. You'll find me here maybe in the morning. That depends on what time I have to pick up my little guy, Wyatt. But if you don't see me here on Friday, it's because I am spending the day with child energy and I'm going to love every minute of it. I'm going to make them lunch. I'm going to play in the pool with them. Maybe depends on what the weather's like. And we're just going to hang out. I'm going to have a lot of kid energy that I'm going to play with on Friday. I suggest you do that too. And if you don't have kids, borrow your friends' kids, borrow your grandkids if you have them. Go to a park, go to the places where kids play or where kids are and hang out just to feel that youthful vigor and the wonderful energy of that of childhood, right? The innocence, the excitement, the wonder, the awe. That's what I'm looking for on Friday, hanging out with my grandkids. And anyway, let's look over at the Pleiadian Earth energy for the day today. Today is 12 in the universal. So all of the universe is resonant with the energy of 12, which is understanding. Understanding energy. So where we can sort of see how we are all connected, where we can seek to understand other people's points of view, where other people are coming from, what are their ideas, what inspires them, what are the common core values that we hold. Don't look just at the differences. This is a day to understand how we're all alike, but then to also understand the beauty of what makes us different, what makes us unique, what makes one culture different from another. It's basically a day to understand that we're all one, but to also see the unique qualities in each of us. And as such, it is also an Earth day of exploring, which was Ben in the Mayan calendar. It was a day for travel. The Ben people were travelers, right? They were explorers. They were the ones that cut a trail through the dense jungles just to see where it took them or to see if it would give them a shortcut to the ocean, perhaps, or to another village. They were the explorers. They saw the world from an elevated point of view. These were the guys that would climb the mountains just to see what they could see. So today's part of that day. Explore the heights of who you could be. What would it feel like to be expressing all your hopes and dreams in the world? What would that feel like? Try it on for size, right? Try it on. What does it feel like? How does it change your point of view of yourself, of the world? So today's really an expansive sort of day, but also a day for bringing some understanding to others in your world. So if you're in an argument with someone or a disagreement with somebody, attempt to step back for a moment and see things through their eyes. Can you do that? That's hard. It's hard because we're always so caught up in our own opinions and our own ideas, and we think that we're right. Well, would you rather be right, or would you rather be at peace? And maybe being at peace is that you can see things through another person's point of view. It doesn't make them right and you wrong, and it doesn't make you right and them wrong. It just says that I can maybe understand where they're coming from because I can see through their eyes, or I can see through their lens, right? We all are looking at the world through a lens. The lens might be your conditioning from childhood. It might be your culture. It might be your race. It could be your religion. It could be any number, the communities of people that are around you. And it could be your ajna in your head combination in your human design chart, whether you're defined or open. And that makes the world go round, right? Is that we all have these different points of view. But trying to see through someone else's point of view is difficult. But you have to learn how to see through their eyes without becoming them or letting go of who you are, but getting understanding about what it is that they're seeing and where they're coming from. All righty. I want to pull a card for us for the new moon. And we didn't talk much about Mercury turning retrograde, but here it is at 8:52 this evening. So literally, what is that? 40 minutes after the new moon, we have Mercury turning direct. And Mercury turning direct at 23 Cancer, which is where it entered into its retrograde period. That takes us back to June 20th, where it entered into the retrograde period, the shadow period began. So now we're looking at what was going on then, and what have we learned? I guess the question is, what have you learned in this Mercury retrograde? What's come to the surface? Right. And, you know, during the Mercury retrograde, you know, we all get caught up in the things that are happening. My computer and all of its myriad technological glitches and its final death throes and the fact I lost so much data. And yet I can look back now through all of those days of anxiety and angst over all of that. And I can see what it is I've learned. Right. Back up your stuff. Back up your stuff, right? So there are lessons that we've all learned going through this, but it was also emotional. There was an emotional thing going on with us all as Cancer brings us to the places where we're being overly protective, where we've built a hard shell around us, where we've built that freaking wall. Really, do we want to build more walls? Do we need more walls? What do walls protect us from? Not much. Right? Not much. In the real world, a wall protects you from nothing. Think about that in terms of what's going on in our country with wanting to build a wall on the southern border. But we all have personal walls. And during this Mercury retrograde time, we may have been more comforted by trying to build those emotional walls, but they kept falling down. They kept, you know, people kept poking through. Possibly, or digging into us in some way, or life was digging into you in some way. So if you can look back and see, where was that going on in my own life? And now that Mercury turns direct, it will go back over that same territory, right? So it's not like you're quite done. It will be until August 14th that we finish the retro shade, as Suzanne likes to tell us. The retro shade time ends, but in the meantime, we can go back over the things that were happening and what did we learn? It's a great time of self-reflection. What happened? What did I learn? What's left to learn there? Not to beat yourself up with it, of course, just to inquire, self-inquiry. Inquiring minds want to know, right? Because this is how we build our strength. This is how we clear out those unconscious places in ourselves. We inquire. We dare to look into that dark hole, We dare to go, why did I have to experience that? What did it mean? What is it showing me about me? What is it showing me about where I go next? All of these things are important for us to look at. So don't be afraid to do that, because now that the retrograde is over, you're going to get a glimpse back in that mirror of the retrograde time. And what did it bring to you? Some of you may have not noticed much of anything, but maybe by reflection, someone around you was suffering with something. What does that mean for you? The next retrograde for Mercury doesn't happen until Halloween. And that one will be a doozy because it'll be in Scorpio. So we'll be digging deep. So practice now looking at the more superficial things that might have happened, the more emotionally connected things, the ones that you can really see the moodiness of the place that we've been in, and work with it from there. I see Suzanne Fulmer checking in with us. The number 12 is an important one when it comes to numerology. Since it signifies completion, it also belongs to the star sign Pisces. Yes, 12th house, Pisces, who is known to be a spiritual sign that is in constant touch with the energies of the universe. Why did we bring up the number 12? Lammas, that's what it's called, Suzanne. Thank you. I invite you to share information that you know, Suzanne, about Lammas and what people can experience. Usually the cross quarter days have something to do with light. And in this case, I've definitely noticed the days getting shorter, maybe because they're so elongated here. It's very obvious that the sun is setting well before 9 o'clock now, where before it was setting, you know, after nine. And so, you know, it was 11 o'clock at night and you could still see light on the horizon. I'm not seeing that now. And that's because the days are getting shorter. I'm noticing that. Maybe you guys are too. And Halloween is the next Mercury retrograde, from Halloween 10/31 until November 18th, I believe. I'll check on that again for you guys, but that should be about 3 weeks. So it'll be an interesting one. Scorpio takes us deep. Wherever Scorpio is in your chart is where Mercury's retrograding through. It may be bringing up things that are pretty deep. Wounds, perhaps, emotions, grievances, emotional hurts, you know, the boo-boos that we hide, that we just squelch, might be coming back up for us. We'll see. Okay, so I was going to draw a card for the new moon and for Mercury direct. Let's do that really quickly. Okay. So this is for the new moon. Maybe we'll draw two cards, one for the new moon and one for Mercury direct. The new moon is number 10, which is a one, new beginnings, and it's the Unfinished Symphony card. Unfinished Symphony. I think we've had her before. She looks really beautiful, sitting there with her piano keyboard on an egg that resembles the world. But if I don't know if you guys can see it, but you see the face within the egg? That's always, in these cards, there's always a face, and it's the face of spirit that's in the cards. So that one is for the new moon. Now let's pull one for the Mercury retrograde or Mercury direct. Wow, that one popped out. Wow. Remember we were talking about four Leo. We were talking about 4 degrees, you know, where the conjunction of the moon and Venus will be today. This is card number 4 for the Mercury direct. It is higher power. And this card is sort of nebulous. There's not much you can see. There's obviously the face of a woman in here, maybe a fairy or an angel. She has light coming from her third eye. And there's just a lot of kind of Piscean, Neptunian sort of look there, etherealness. Okay, that is for that one. Okay, so let's read these cards and see what we've got here. So 10 is the card for the new moon. Unfinished symphony means unfinished business, an incomplete lesson, lack of closure, the need to make amends. So the message is, this is a time to tie up loose ends as you near the completion of a cycle or project and mastery of a lesson or skill. Before you can move forward, it's important that you come to terms with where you are now. Practice radical acceptance. Take inventory so that emotional and psychological closure can occur and the answers you seek will be found. In other words, you want to go into the new moon clean, purified, if you will. You can't move forward if you are leaving things unfinished. Reflect on what has passed so that the symphony can finally end on a high note. And then the card number 4 is the Mercury Direct card. Higher power says, conscious contact with a higher power, the presence of the divine, seeing source energy in all things, committing to a partnership with spirit. This card reminds you that you are more than a person trying to get ahead and make things happen for yourself and others. You have an immortal soul and are gifted with a human life through which a higher power can express itself. At this time, you need to be conscious of your connection to spirit and foster it through prayer and meditation. Ask, what is the highest good for all? How can I serve? Oh my God. I don't make this stuff up. You guys see me draw these. It's like spirit is talking through me and then validates it by having me draw cards for you. Then get out of your own way and trust that there is a plan for your life more wondrous than you can ever know. You are always protected and divinely directed. Good gravy. All right. I love that. So get to finishing your business before you can start the new one, and then call on higher power as we move forward here today. You know, these are like go signs, by the way, right? Mercury turning direct is a go sign, and a new moon is always a new, start something new, take action, go somewhere, do something. And then I'm going to draw us an animal card, a spirit animal. I'm not going to draw two in this case, because that doesn't seem to be what is being called for, but I am going to draw us one spirit animal to take us on. I know fall's my favorite too, Lisa. And I got B. Oh, two. So two came out after all. B spirit and badger. Oh my gosh. And badger's card number 4. So this would be the second card, which would have been sort of the Mercury direct card. Also a 4, which was a 4 in the other deck. But this one, B spirit, is card number 7. And it says, sweet results await. Love it. Sweet results await. And Badger says, be fearless and bold. But it was upside down. So let's take a look at these two. In fact, I think I'll read, because now I don't remember if I flipped it on my own or. So we'll read both cards. How's that? And exactly, Suzanne, I know I do. And that's why I get this quizzical look on my face sometimes when people say, remember when you said, and I go, no, I don't always remember what I said. So Suzanne has put up angel number 1 so that we could see what that's all about. And it's pretty long, but it's there on the Living Astrology page. If you go back to the page, if you can't see it now, if you're on the page, scroll down through the comments and you'll be able to see what she's written there about the one. So B was the first card, number 7. Number 7, sweet results await. The Oracle's message says, the B spirit's message is that sweet rewards are on their way if you are willing to get your ego out of the way and immerse yourself in the connected energy of all things. B spirit knows not to let a sense of being a separate self get in the way of a good thing. Spirit is always producing honey. Miracles and magic are everywhere. When you connect with the great hive, you are vibrating and buzzing in exquisite harmony with all. B spirit asks that your focus be on connectivity. Your body, heart, soul, and psyche experience total interconnectedness and a true integration when you self-forget, when you remember that you are part of a greater unified consciousness. Moving from separation into connection, from self-centered limitation to spirit-centered infinite possibility and potential, you become busy as a bee, enjoying the gifts of bee spirit. Fully in alignment with your highest expression of yourself, your heart opens and creativity rushes through you seemingly without effort as you experience that nothing feels like work. Industriousness is driven by enthusiasm and inner motivation, and time seems to fly by quickly as the hive supports you in making of more honey. Do you feel the presence of your helpers in the hidden realms adding their energy to your creations? Magical results are taking form and will be sweeter than you expect. Bee Spirit wants you to remember that your part in the divine partnership with conscious universe is being rewarded even if you can't see that yet, and asks that you share your good fortune as there is plenty of honey for all. Be a part of the large whole, the force that brings forth all that is sweet and delightful. And in protection, it says, when Bee Spirit comes as your protector, she asks you to be very honest with yourself. Do you want to taste the sweet honey others have been making, but you believe is unattainable for you? Do you wonder how others ended up with so much magical honey when you seem to have none? Have you bought into the illusion of separation and become convinced that you can't have what others in the hive enjoy? Do you separate the hive to do it all on your own or to hoard what honey you have, unwilling to trust that there is plenty of support and plenty of sweetness to go round? If you have been overworking and overdoing and have not given yourself any time to enjoy the sweetness of your life, Bee Spirit is telling you to stop and recharge. Perhaps you're afraid that if you don't get something done, it just won't get done. However, even busy bees need to take a break, and when they do, the honey still gets made. So remind yourself that sweetness is everywhere and available to you always when you need it. I think that's a great reminder. I'm sorry that one was kind of a long one, but I think it was well worth reading it. Now let's see, since Spirit decided that we definitely needed an animal card for the Mercury Direct as well, let's read that one. Oops, it's not bat. It is badger. Badger. Badger and bee. Badger Spirit says, be fearless and bold. Very Mars-like. That one was definitely in protection, but I'm going to read the whole thing. So let's see. Spirit rejoices at your persistence and commitment to what is true for you. Whatever you seek, your tenacity and faith in your partnership with Spirit is paying off, and the results will soon coalesce into form in your world. The gift of Badger Spirit is the surety that taking a risk now and being courageous, fearless, and bold will yield wondrous results. This is a time to harness your will and apply it consistently to the pursuit of your dreams. Know that no matter the temporary outer conditions, you will manifest your desires in divine timing and in the form that Spirit deems best for you. Badger Spirit says you have what it takes to get where you want, so assert yourself. Be fearless and be bold, shining your light as your purpose calls you into the world. New relationships are also given a green light now. Don't be afraid to make the first move. Badger Spirit loves your brave and mighty heart. Protection. When Badger Spirit comes to protect you, he reminds you that anger or aggression, argumentative behavior, and being pushy or manipulative will not result in a positive outcome. Perhaps someone close to you has excess Badger energy, or perhaps that energy is pent up in you. Either way, now is the time to calm down and allow the energy to pass through you. Go for a hike or a brisk walk, shake it off, or dance it out so you can return to the situation determined and committed, but not so intense that you overwhelm others and yourself. The appearance of Badger Spirit also serves as a reminder that if you have been relentlessly pursuing something that keeps eluding you, the message is that it's time to surrender it up to your higher power. Your higher power, also card number four. Surrender it up to your higher power and focus on something else. Badger Spirit wants to protect you from self-will run rampant, from being obsessed with getting what you want in the form you prefer, in timing that fits perfectly with your notions of what has to be. Remember, the world doesn't revolve around your wants. Better, more beautiful opportunities will be the result when you release some of the Badger Spirit intensity along with your need to have it your way 100%. Great reminders. Great reminders. So that is our fourple, our four quadruple cards that came out for our energy for today. And I think they're some mighty good ones. Okay. Let's see. Does anybody have any questions? Good morning, Tara. I got your email. I'll respond to that a little bit later this morning. And I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne, for putting angel number four up. And I don't see any other questions. She also put up seven. And that's it, I think. And I don't see any questions here. So, perfect. That takes us to 9 a.m. Wow, I had a lot to say apparently today. So thank you all for joining me this morning. Mwah! Much love to you all. Know that I totally support you in you claiming your most generous, loving, kind, and magnanimous soul. See you all tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, right here in the Meta Cafe. Bye for now.